everyone. Welcome back to Daytime After Dark 2016. I'm your host, Carly. And tonight we have a very special guest. I'm so excited. It's for all you One Life to Live fans that miss RJ Timothy D. Strickland. I hope I said that right. He played RJ. He was also in one of my favorite movies, Copland. I know, Copland. Yeah, it was. So let's give him a very good Daytime After Dark welcome. Hi, welcome. Hi, Timothy. Yep.
Hello.
Yep. Welcome. I'm so happy you can do this. I am so sorry for the misspelling of your name.
It happens, you know. I should have made a collection through my life of the different things that have been either said or typed as my name. I always thought it was fairly simple, but apparently not. Maybe
apparently
it makes people's
not.
Eyes do tricks. They see other things. They don't know.
Well, maybe, yeah, because, like I said, everyone misses you on One Life to Live. I do. We miss One Life to Live. I loved RJ. I fell in love with you the moment you hit the screen there. To me, RJ had the heart of gold. I know a lot of people didn't see that. I loved it. I always thought I thought you and Lindsay could have made a really good pair together. That's what I wanted for you. Yes. It would have been dang hot.
Yeah,
I said dang.
I got a couple of opportunities, RJ, over the years and the storylines to have someone to love him. I don't know if it was peculiarities of being a soap villain, always heavy doses of ABC's fear of dealing with black people and relationships. In a meaningful way. They've always been very comfortable using it as what I call parsley. You know, it's not the main course. It's just there as a little decoration. So ultimately, I guess I wasn't. I was happy to trade having had love relationships because generally it left me the two other parts of the stool. You usually get three legs on the stool, right? You can either be sexually viable, intelligent, or financially secure. So generally, RJ was intelligent and financially secure. He was not sexually viable on One Life to Live most of the time.
Well, no, okay, in my mind he was, but that's besides the point. I just thought I loved RJ better than Hank. I know, we are, you know, to me, Hank was bully. RJ was fun and sexy and in trouble, which I loved. Whenever you got in trouble, I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved RJ in trouble. It's better being in trouble than not. But I loved you and Taya. Taya Gigato. I loved
well,
love that,
great.
Too.
He chose to be a criminal as a reaction to, I believe, his brother and what people were ready to believe about him. For most of the time I was there, I played him with a pretty rigid morality, being that his business was largely criminal. I enjoyed him in trouble because then he was being true to his life choice. But I also liked that there were things that he wouldn't do. There were lines he wouldn't cross. And a lot of his attitude was to cover that he was a softie. But most people weren't looking for that, so they didn't see it. I mean, people in the universe with him. I was very lucky that viewers could see that in the moments that I was given to let that through. But yeah, he would much rather have had a loving relationship with his brother and his family and all. But you know, that I think that damage, that sense of him still being broken a bit, was what let people love him. Because that's why I got to stick around so long. Is people loved to hate me. If they just hated RJ, he'd have been dead a long time ago.
Well, yeah, and you know, I still cry when my Philip, you know, has been gone for years now.
I guess.
Yeah,
something
it doesn't
like that.
Seem real. It doesn't seem real, and I was shocked that you did not do the reboot.
My superpower is my ability to remain shockable. Even though it was online, it's still television. And while soap opera has the peculiarity of allowing actors to go from one show's imaginary town to another show's imaginary town, it really doesn't happen with black characters. The two from All My Children are kind of the exception, Jesse and when I start to pull up names, even though they are imaginary.
Oh, Jesse and, I know who you're talking about, yeah.
Angie and Jesse. Right. They've gotten to be on, they were in the extended towns from All My Children, right? They were in, what was that, Loving, they popped up there. And those actors have popped up on different shows. But by and large, that doesn't happen. Even Darnell, who got an Emmy, isn't afforded that opportunity. So I would have been nice to have been asked, but I understood why they went with the black family that was still on the canvas when the show left the air. I don't remember if RJ was in Landview or if I had been sent to visit my niece daughter in Chicago last time I was mentioned.
I think you did.
Yeah,
you got sent to, and
I
got mad.
Trip.
I got mad.
So, but I am still here. So if it happens, I'm easy to find when people look. I'm a bit of a hermit, but I'm easy to get a message to.
Would you ever open to, I know you all in New York right now doing a play, but would you ever be open to go to the West Coast and do Young and the Restless, Days of Our Life, General Hospital?
Sure.
Would you ever be? Okay.
Absolutely. My career has been marked by that. I'm an old school actor. I go where the work is. I started out on a bus and truck Shakespeare, so we took our set with us, and I did 5 crossings of the continent over 3 seasons. And then recently-ish, I spent 5 seasons in southern Ontario, Stratford, doing Shakespeare. I go where the work is. Of course, now it has to be something that wouldn't be embarrassing.
Well, yeah,
you know?
But I could see you on one Young and Restless, hanging out with my favorite guy, Christoph St. John. He's been on the show a couple of times. And I could see Neil needing a buddy like RJ, kind of, but you don't have to play RJ or anything. I always saw you on General Hospital, helping my little Manish Banal, Sunny, with the mob. I think RJ would be hot in that little thing. Don't know what I would have you be doing on Days of Our Life. I'm Bold and the Beautiful. No, I don't want you on there because it's only a half an hour, so we need you an hour. Yeah. How about doing Copland? I love Copland. I see it a lot. It's one of my favorite movies.
It was a fun couple of days, but you know, it's funny because, now it's like a great trivia question. It's I think it's One of a Pair. That's a movie that was a first-time director, writer, and producer. So that's a lot of hats to wear. And I was hired to be, I was supposed to live in one of the buildings. Anyway, the long short of it is, they paid me for 2 or 3 days of overtime where he never shot a single frame of me because he had underestimated how much time it takes to get a usable performance out of a non-actor. I won't throw this individual under the bus by name, but I will say that he was a rap star that had been cast to be a character in the film. And most of the night was, because they had to shoot it before the sun started to show. And most of those nights were spent shooting him through a window. And so the rest of us sat in our trailers or hung out on the set for 3 days and collected checks. And because of kind of the wild nature of the set and their record keeping was terrible, I don't think they realized that I'd never, you know, that they didn't get to me, so I'm still in the credits. So I'm nowhere to be found in the film. I guess the other side of the coin was a film, Conspiracy Theory, with Mel Gibson. I'm his cab driver through a chase sequence. And Richard Donner realized after they shot it that they had too much of it and that they really didn't need to see me. So he was sweet, sent me all the post-show gifts, invited me to the rap party, but cut me out of the film. So that one, at least I did the work and got the money. I got the money on both of them. But if you see me in Copland, you're doing really good because they didn't even point the camera at me once. But, you know, that's the biz.
Well, yeah, but, I feel like beating up those people, but I won't.
He had a hard enough time with getting the rest of his movie done because, man, that's a hard way to go once you start out and you're not even shooting your script. You got to now rewrite your script on the fly. And that was full of stars, right? Doesn't it have like Stallone and maybe De Niro or Pacino? I mean, it's got like 3 or 4 of the male drama action stars in it. So he had his hands full.
Well, but still, I did like when you were also on One Life to Live. I loved your scenes that you had with Stahl, all day in Stahl. I mean, you didn't have a lot of scenes, but you had a couple, and I thought you were really cute with her.
I'm sorry, with who?
With Kristen Alderson
on
One Life to Live. You know, Stahl and all day, and
yeah. Well, I love Kristen.
Yeah.
She's a good kid. Good adult. Wow, they grow up. So they keep growing.
Well, yeah, but, you know, I thought you were so good with the kids, working with the kids on One Life. You know, people don't want to work with the kids.
It was a cool situation because they were usually less encumbered by the judgment given to the older characters. So I could deal with it more kind of just in a reality of the situation and understanding that even though, you know, her father might be a person who RJ didn't have much good to say about, that has nothing to do with her as a person. Or, you know, and even that she can be aware that, yeah, it's your father, but you know these other things are said or are possibly true about him. So I always loved playing those scenes because they had layers built right in, you know, and trying to keep RJ a person who's dealing with you in reality, not the assumptions about you, because, of course, that's where his character flaw is based and people assuming that they know what he is or who he's supposed to be.
Exactly. And, you know, it's just, you know, I mean, I say this all the time. I want One Life to Live back, but I know that, you know, the reboot sucked. I will say it sucked.
I didn't see very much.
Well, you didn't miss much, sweetie.
Well, I will leave it to you. You're more expert on the subject than I. I don't even know if I saw a whole episode. I think I just saw the publicity shots. Because it's a bit difficult to, you know,
I'm
watch
60 because
thing you're not included in.
I love watching TV in bed. And it was just, I mean, watching stuff online and not comfortable because your back ahead, your neck ahead. And my thing is, come on, put on TV. Don't put on the web. That's, you know, how I liked it. Oh, so you told me that you were doing a play coming up. What's the new play
right.
you're doing?
I am back to Shakespeare. It's at Hartford Stage. It's a wonderful company in Connecticut. I worked with them 15 or so years ago in A Merchant of Venice. But now they're their artistic director and director of this show, Darko, is coming off his Tony Wynn for Gentleman's Guide to, I can't remember the whole title, Gentleman's Guide to Love, I think. But I auditioned for his Macbeth a couple of seasons ago. And apparently, you know, it came pretty close. It was down to me and maybe one or two other guys, and it went the other guy's way. So I was like, okay, that's great. And I didn't hear anything from him until just an offer came to be Juliet's father in this season's production of Romeo and Juliet. So, I mean, so it's great to just be asked. So, you know, so that says he did remember me fondly and trust me enough to just ask me if I wanted to do it. So I don't know anything about the production. I kind of like to just show up and see who I'm working with and go from there. So we start rehearsal next Tuesday.
I know you will do good and everything. That's when you said all about the, you know, Romeo and Juliet, I was thinking about high school, how I was supposed to read all those books.
Right.
And, well, they belong, Timothy. And so, you know, like the whole Tier 2 City thing. Okay,
right.
So I thought I could get away with if I read the first two pages on the front and in the back, and I could cover it.
No,
it didn't look like that. And then I wanted when I was older, and I'm like, oh, it was not that bad. But when you're in high school, you don't want to read that.
Yeah. Well, I teach a lot. Over the years, I've taught a lot. I'm trying to teach a bit more now because, one, I think that young people are missing out on an opportunity to work with a writer who's really very much like, in my mind, the way hip-hop artists work with language today. You work with it, with what it means, and then you stretch the meaning to incorporate a new nuance to it, or you just make up a whole new word. Shakespeare coined a lot of words and phrases and images that we still use a lot today. So I've developed with some exercises that I've picked up over the years, but I do a little chat, a little like 15-20 minute thing to introduce. I use Richard III because it's a character that I had a lot of fun playing, which was a surprise to me. I never thought that would be a character that would be fun necessarily. So I explain what the play is about and his motivation, and then I go right into the opening speech from the play. And it's a way that people then they understand what the story is, they understand the character, and then they hear a nice chunk of Shakespeare's text. And I've done it for school groups and for recently I did it at I did it for my family at my mother's 85th birthday. And I always get the feedback that, you know, it's much easier for people to understand if they had been taught it that way earlier than maybe they'd have been a fan of Shakespeare or classical work. So I think a lot of it's just how you're introduced to it. So part of my drive to teach people a little bit more about Shakespeare and coming from a slightly different angle is first to tell you to forgive yourself because Shakespeare was never meant to be read. It wasn't written all down in the form that we're used to seeing it until after he had died. In the period, people said they were going to hear a play. They didn't go to see a play. Because of movies and things, we're much more visual now. But they experienced it all through the ears. So then you're hearing people say, you know, they know what their meaning is. They know what they're trying to communicate. And you get it because they understand it. And at the end of the night, you understand the story that you saw and heard unfold before you. At no point are you asked to sit down with 3 hours of material, you know, when spoken, and read it by yourself. That's not the experience that it's built for. So you get closer when you read it in the class, but even that's a handicap because your students in class aren't trained to decipher the text because a lot of clues about what the person means, what they're feeling, when they're being sarcastic, when they're being loving and kind, are hidden in the punctuation, often the capitalization of words. And so the best way to experience it is if you can go to a play. Even not necessarily a good play, production of the play, because you'll still hear it and your brain will make parts of it work that maybe the actors don't. So everyone forgive yourselves if you try to read it and you fall asleep because it's really not meant for that. I don't enjoy reading them. I can get through them when it's for a purpose. I'm studying it for work or I've been hired to do a piece. But, yeah, forgive yourself.
I will. Okay, we better take calls because I could talk to you all day, but then people might kill me. And when I say people might kill me. Yeah, okay, so let's see. 954, you're on mail.
Hi, David.
Hey, David.
HMD. HMD.
Hello, how are you?
I'm one of your Facebook friends.
Oh.
David
well,
Burgess.
Thank you. Good. You know, immediately, like, the little pictures next to people's names start flashing through my mind. Like, okay, David, Facebook friend. Yeah, I don't know. But, hey, I'm willing to believe you.
I'm David Burgess.
Oh, okay. Okay, that name is familiar. Well, this is what you sound like.
Yeah.
Okay,
I want to thank you. You sent me a birthday wish, and I want to thank you.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, Mom.
Absolutely. I tried to.
Say,
there really is nothing like a Facebook birthday.
Yeah, thank you. Also, I want to say, you know, you were my favorite on Mike Live, RJ. I was a big fan of yours, RJ.
Well, thanks, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Also, I know you did fight scenes with Antonio. Do you have your own stunts, or how did the fight scene work out with Antonio when you first started the fight scenes?
I'm sorry? What happened?
The fight scenes with Antonio on One Life to Live.
Oh, my goodness. You know, I've done so many fights over the years. They all blur together. I remember the ones that go horribly wrong and the ones where I got to do something brand new. So, did I fight him in the bar? Was that?
Yeah, you didn't mean to. Yeah, I think
a
couple times.
Okay. Yeah, that was fun because I got to wear some good body armor under my clothes. And when someone can slam you into a hard edge and you barely feel it, that's a good day. So, yeah. And Kamar likes to fight, so it was good for him, too.
And also, who would you like to become Ramastrasa Dorian? What would he like?
You said Dorian?
Yeah,
yes.
Robin Strasser.
Oh, she's great. I love Robin. And in a positive connotation, it's fun to be able to be there and watch a diva work. So watching her wrangle what she would be wearing, because it was always a subtle negotiation between her and Susan Gammy and the folks in the wardrobe department, because, of course, they had ideas of what they wanted to see Dorian in, and Robin always had a very strong idea about what she wanted Dorian to be in. So watching that negotiation, how actors and crew work together was fun. And then watching how she makes the text come alive, because it's a really fast process. So you, between breakfast time and lunchtime, you're pounding in all these words and what you're going to be feeling and doing with them. And then you putting it a while longer than I had by the time I was really working with her regularly. So it was nice to know that I was going to be working with someone who was going to make it work.
Yes, you agree. Yeah.
And then that you'd be proud of how it all came out at the end of the day. Because sometimes, you know, with other less skilled and sometimes just less talented actors, you don't really get to focus on trying to make your character come fully to life, because you're trying to hold their hand and drag them through the day. You're trying to, you know, it's got to get done, and hopefully in a good time so that everybody can get their scenes in. Because I don't know if you all know, sometimes if the day runs long, too long, then they simply cut scenes. So, you know, if you're at the end of the day, you get the call saying, well, we're only doing 5 of your 6 scenes because we're out of time. So if you're a company member, you know, if you're there to work with your colleagues and make a true collaboration, then you're cognizant of that and you don't want to waste the time. I mean, you want to get your best performance, but other people are working too. So working with Robin was always great, because you were going to get it. It was going to be interesting, and you knew she was going to work with you. So there were several actors like that on the show. Most of the actors were like that on the show most of the time. So I miss them a great deal. I miss working with them more than I miss necessarily being RJ.
Also, what has been your favorite storyline? What's your own wank live? That's my last question.
My favorite? Oh, dear. My favorite. I guess any of the beats and arcs that were dealing with RJ and his daughter and possible daughter. I was really heartbroken at the way the story ended with my daughter killing herself and all that. Because I really liked working with the actor. But those were great, because they were very opposite what I was generally asked to do. And I missed the early, I enjoyed the early beat of scenes with my ghost mom.
Oh,
yeah.
So I kind of hope that he would be haunted longer or off and on through his life on the show. But I guess those are my favorites.
Yeah. But Happy New Year, and it was a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you. And Happy New Year, too, man. I hope 2016 is a good one. The last one was a good bumpy for me.
Thanks.
So I'm hoping this one comes in nice and shiny.
Yes. Okay, David, I'm going to put you on mute. And let's see. Hey, Bobby.
Hey, Carly. Welcome back.
Thank you. I love
it's
taking the summer off.
Thank you, actually, calling you, because last time I talked to you was way back in September. And
what?
I got some interesting news to tell you that in just a few minutes. But I wanted to just say, how are you doing tonight, Timothy?
I am doing well. How are you?
Oh, I'm great.
Where are you?
I'm from Fayetteville, North Carolina. Sir.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, I want to just say that I really enjoyed you on the show, and like Carly said, she really enjoyed the scenes you had with Kirsten Allison, the star, and I knew how Kirsten was, because she really matured a lot from being just a brat on One Life to Live to being a beautiful, talented woman on One Life, and on General Hospital as both Star and Kiki during her time, and that's the reason why she got a daytime Emmy for Proof, and I wish her well. Maybe she'll return back to a soap soon. But I'm very happy about what Sherry is doing these days on the Fosters and the ABC
oh,
family.
Oh, right.
Which is
yeah,
going to be
I saw the pilot in a couple of episodes. Yeah, I enjoy
right.
that. She's good.
Right,
she's
right. Because
so
I think
good.
That ABC Family is going to be the Freedom Network next week, and it's be interesting to maybe just watch that show when it comes back on that channel soon. If I have to watch it on demand or DVR it or whatever, but I think Sherry's a great actress, and it'd be great to see her. I mean, I would have, in my opinion, loved to have seen her on one of these soaps as opposed to. Doing an ABC Family show, but just like with Ashley Benson, which I'm going to talk to you more about later, Carly, but I think perhaps maybe it'd be just a wait and see attitude to see what happens after this show ends and what happens beyond it. But I want to ask you in general because what was the most interesting storyline? Because I think when you guys did Live Week on One Life to Live, the week of the Daytime Emmys, the year you guys won your Daytime Emmy in 2002, I think that was probably very much, and I will tell you maybe that several of the GH stars who I tweeted or have talked to on this show have told me that that when they did their live shows earlier last year, it was kind of just, you know, very it's awesome and very fun to do, and they would love to do some more. But what was it kind of like doing live TV at the time compared to when you have to do interviews with people like Kelly and Regis at the time, or with ABC or ABC The View or anybody like that on live television as far as acting goes?
Well, it was great. It was thrilling, terrifying. There's nothing like it. Michael and Kelly, you know, the I call it the couch shows, you know, sitting on the chat shows
mm-hmm.
are live, but it's a little different. There's no, you know, they're not acting, you
right.
know, there's no emotional, there's no demand on
right, right.
an emotional
right.
performance and all that kind of stuff.
Right, right. Cause when you were on the, cause I think you've been on the View a few times to talk to the gals. And stuff like that. I know they have asked you different questions in general about what's up with One Life to Live and stuff like that. But
I've done some regional stuff. I didn't review the View, but the most nerve-wracking, the difficult thing about the couch shows is that usually you're there selling something, right? You're
right.
there to promote a special storyline or a movie or a book, and
right.
so you're really terrified on how you're going to naturally slip in a half a page of information about your product.
Yeah.
And so that's what makes you nervous. You know,
right. I think this with some of the late night talk shows too. But
yeah.
I just want to just also ask, now I'm sure that you worked with Sherry and her husband before. Who you enjoyed working with more out of everybody on this show back in the day?
Well, Nathan's going to kill me because his name isn't what comes to mind immediately. My favorites were the first two because they taught me how to work a three-camera technique. I had done a student film, a high-end student film for this kid who came through my agency, and I did it because I was I'm a theater-trained actor, and camera made me uncomfortable. So I knew I wanted to work on camera. So I did his film because I was the lead, and I knew I would get, like, 3 weeks the camera pointed at me. So, but then three cameras or more, had no idea how to do that. So,
especially when you did
live show. Jim and Kathy DePaiva were my first scene partners. And we started on the Saturday. And they gave me all the little hints and tips. And then because I had so many scenes with them over the course of my time there, certainly the first year, they really taught me how to do it, and we're partners because you have to work together. It's a team. So sometimes, you know, you have to ruin a take because you know that your scene partner can do better, and they've already kind of stopped a take or two. So you don't want to get your partner in trouble, so you take the fall for them and let them get another shot. Or, you know, you have to work together. Those are
right,
the first
right.
two. And then
right.
in terms
it's
of just
like
being the
like
most...
Which-
The most
it's kind of like
sharing.
Almost with the live shows that I was just
yeah.
talking about.
Yeah, well, even more so, you got to help each other because you can't stop that. That train is not stopping. So
right.
somebody get the ball to the next position because, you know, it's live.
Right.
Like
with a sports team, you got to just try to do good because, you know, your director or producer who is acting like coach is going to get on you after the scene's done and just criticize on how bad or how good you did.
Well, it's really not even about them because, yeah, their names are on it, but your face is there. And so you're really there because your colleague is standing in the light, sweating it out with you. So you're trying to get it's like you're on a lifeboat, and you're trying
right.
to get everybody to shore. So you've got to tune in and be ready and pay attention just in case somebody needs you to help them up, get
right.
them back in the boat.
Right.
And so, you know, I know One Life spent a lot of time crafting that week and making sure that we had, of the 30-some contract players, they had the contract players who keep the motor running, keep the boat
right.
on course. You know, if you're known to have a lot of slip-ups, fumble bumbles that are irretrievable, you know, then you probably weren't in that week, or at least not doing anything dangerous. You know, you walked through and picked up a coffee and kept going. So yeah, that was a lot of, I took a lot of pride in being in that week. And we played a game. I don't know if people know, we had the word of the day back then. So between camera blocking and the shot on a regular week, our stage manager would announce a word, and everybody then would try to fit that word into their scene on tape. So we've been doing this for, I don't know, years. And live week comes. So now it's harder because everyone's got to be paying attention. You've got to be really sure that the word is going to seamlessly fit into your world. You know, nobody's trying to flag that, you know, we're playing a game between ourselves. And it just heightens the stakes a bit to keep it going through live week. So usually Erica Slazak was the master.
Right.
She generally got the word of the day.
Right.
But I got one during live week.
Right.
So I will never forget that she came to me and gave me she wagged her finger at me because she was in the next set. And we were at a commercial break. And she said, I had one, but you got it. So I kept it together and got in a word of the day during live week.
Oh, well, that was neat. And I wanted to say that my condolences go out to Patricia because we lost her a couple
yes.
who played Renee on the show.
Yes.
And
yes.
and my condolences go out to her, and it was just kind of sad to hear about that, and then to hear
yes.
on top of Nathaniel's
yeah.
death also
all yeah.
the
fans
yeah.
of the time. So
yeah.
I just wanted
yeah.
to
both,
say
both,
condolences
both
to both
sweet
them
people.
And everything else. But it was great talking to you, and I'm glad that I got a chance to talk to you, and who knows, maybe you might show up another time. Maybe there might be a One Life Live reunion with you and Sherry on the Fosters soon.
I got my ghost daughter, huh? Okay.
Yes. Anyways, you have a good night.
You too. Thanks for calling.
Okay, Bobby, I will put you on hold.
Thank you.
I would like to see you on NCIS LA. I think you could do really good stuff there. Okay, we have two more calls, and let's see. H6O, you're on the air.
Hello, Carly.
Hi, other David. We have two Davids on the show.
This is the other David. Other David, okay.
Yes.
OD, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. And yourself?
I'm okay. I'm always a little nervous chatting, doing interview type stuff. So but I'm feeling better.
You know, Carly does an exceptional job with all of her guests. And, you know, we often get a lot of people who want to come back again and again because she does so good.
Yeah.
You know, she's really good at what she does. And every time when she gets someone from, like, One Life Live, All My Children, it's like, you know, for me, it's like the show still lives on even though we don't get anything new. You know, I honestly would love to see, You know how when Doctor Who first went off the air, a production company did a radio broadcast of Doctor Who, and eventually it came back on the air because of those radio broadcasts. I couldn't see why we couldn't have, you know, like a fan-based One Life to Live and All My Children broadcast type thing to keep the show, you know, in the consciousness until such time as the rights for a television show come back to whoever or whatever and we get a show again.
That would be interesting. I mean, you know, my mind immediately goes to how would you dodge the licensing? I guess you'd have to do names that are very close to the actual names. But that would be cool. I mean, I enjoy radio plays.
I love radio dramas. I listen to them all the time. I grew up on them. I actually did, when I went to college, I took classes in communications and broadcasting with a heavy emphasis on radio. There's actually a studio less than two blocks from my house. So I can actually get to a professional studio for a reasonable fee if I ever needed to do a show.
I live in
Connecticut, and there's a studio like two blocks from my house. So I'm fortunately blessed with that.
Well, that's cool. Well, hey, if you're in Connecticut, then you are coming to see the Romeo and Juliet, yeah?
Where is that?
Parker Stage.
Oh, you're going to be at Harford Stage?
Yeah.
Oh, I just came from the Harford Stage. I just saw A Christmas Carol there.
Mm, okay.
Oh my gosh! Have you ever seen their version of Christmas Carol?
No.
Oh, you've got to go when it comes back in the winter. Oh my gosh, it is so good. It's the best version of A Christmas Carol I've ever seen. And that includes movies and, you know, whatever. It's so good. And I love the theme of clocks in it. They've got this big clock over the stage. And when the Ghost of Christmas Future comes out, he sort of reminds me of, like, the Clock King from DC Comics. Because there's, like, this clock king. He rides this chariot-type three wheeler that has a clock face on it. Oh, it's awesome!
I'll have to check out the production shots when I'm there. I'm sure they got some.
And you know, I saw that play and I was like, I wish I had actually gone back into acting and plays. I used to do plays really long ago, but I stopped performing in plays. They were like little church things, school things. But I love being on the stage. I can actually sing a little bit. I don't think I'm that good, but other people say that I actually have a good voice. Well, God bless them. But
it's a tough gig, man. It's a tough business. I love being around
actors, the stage, and music. So when I went to see this at the Harper Stage, it was like I actually had the best seats in the house. You know how they have like a front row of seats on the Harper Stage?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I got seats that were in the front row down by the left-hand side of the stage, you know, stage right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, and oh my goodness. We got to see everything, most of the from the way that people were placed. There were a couple times we were to the back, to our back, but for the most part, we got most of, we could see people's facial reactions and all of that from where we were sitting. Me and a relative, I went for a Christmas trip, and oh my gosh, I love the Harford Stage. I'm going to be going back to see the Anastasia play that's going to be at the Harford Stage.
Okay. Well, cool. Well, then, see, you have no excuse. You have to see Romeo and Juliet.
What's this play you're doing?
Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, Romeo and Juliet. Okay. I'll look for that. I actually signed up for alerts from them, so I'll probably get, alerts to when the tickets come out, and I'll definitely come. I'll be glad to meet you.
Excellent.
Okay.
David, we have one more call, so I'm going to put you on hold, buddy.
That's perfectly fine. That's perfectly fine.
Okay.
Carly, are you talking? I'm glad that you're feeling better these days. I was a little concerned.
Oh, thank you, David. I will talk all about it. Yeah. Hold on, David. Megan, you're on the air. Timothy, this is my best friend, my second mother. Megan, we are both so big fans of yours.
Oh, Maggie?
Yes, Maggie. Hi, Timothy.
How are you?
Oh, terrific. Now, thank you so very much for our show tonight. This is wonderful.
Good to be asked.
And you are a great actor. I have been listening to the interview. You give so much homage to the other actors. It's like, I would think it'd be more of a cutthroat business, but you're a perfect gentleman. I mean, really.
Well, I appreciate that. I mean, it is a tough business, but if you're doing it right, you aren't doing it alone, you know. So.
Well, you do it right. And I'm thrilled about your play. I hope you break a leg. I guess that's
Thanks.
The thing you say.
We don't want, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, but not really break a leg, see.
Well, no,
right.
There's this pressure.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
No, if, because someone said that to me while I was in drama class, break a leg, and I actually nearly broke my leg. So I tell people, never tell me that ever again, because you could end up really breaking something, people.
Okay. God bless and good luck.
Yes, but you know what a class I am, Meg.
Yes.
Amazing. Yes, I know. We got all day tea. I told you I make your dream come new. And we would like to know, Meggie and I would like to know, what was it working with Robert Woods, Bo Buchanan?
Oh.
Because.
Oh.
Yeah,
Bobby.
You guys look really good.
Bobby's great. He was a lot of fun to work with. He was very comfortable, relaxed, being Bo. So you just had to, you know, you had to know what you wanted to do, who you were, and go in and play with him, you know? So... I guess that maybe I was lucky. I got to try to bring out different colors in him. When you play a good guy or a hero in an episodic, you tend to get written into the same colors because generally heroes, good guys, are going to be understanding and forgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And so how many different ways can you do that? So if you get to meet then my character, and I get to come in and push all these buttons and make you be unreasonable and short-sighted, you know, it's fun for the other actor because it's stuff they don't get to do without having to apologize, you know. So if Bo yelled at Nora today, you know, by tomorrow or the end of the script, you've got to go in and apologize or buy her flowers or do something that puts him back into the same old rut of being the good guy. So I think he had fun playing with me because I didn't mind being the bad guy. You know, we need them for the story. And some actors get that confused with who they actually are and start trying to move their dark criminal character into being heroic and vice versa. I mean, the problem I had with One Life and the writing toward the end of my time there was RJ was right. And the cops were breaking the law. And that was really difficult to play.
I
was the only one who ever admitted that they were, you know, okay, I'm a criminal, but you are wrong. And so, playing with Bobby, you didn't have that problem. He understood who he was and enjoyed the opportunity to be. To play a different tune, to show different colors when he was working with RJ. Bobby's a lot of fun.
Do you keep in touch with him now?
As much as
all?
You can. you know, because most of them don't live really in New York, and I moved to New Jersey, so going into the city, you know, is a commuting thing. It's for a specific function. And you're also trying to work. So I was working 10 months out of the year in another country at the end of the show.
Wow. Well, if you ever see Bobby Woods this time, you come on the show, because we will love him, and we will be so sweet to him and nice. And I know you were nervous about doing this show, Timothy, but I'm fun. I'm really fun.
Oh, you're family.
You are. I just don't think Bobby does interviews. I mean, even during the, you know, the heyday, the thick of it, you know, with lots of interview requests from the PR department, it's not really his thing. Bobby's pretty private guy.
Well, yeah.
And he's pretty much, he is what
I tried getting your brother on, too. I tried getting your TV brother on. Okay, that did not work in my favor.
He's not too big on it either.
And I go, I'm nice. And he goes, but that's the past. I'm like, we want to know what you're up to now. And he still wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
Dang
it. I just was in touch with him last week, leading up to between Christmas and New Year. And he's officially retired. So, so I know. Because he's often said that it's the past. He doesn't like talking about the past. So, I don't see that happening.
And I said Noah Carley was only any guys in daytime say no to me, but that's okay. I know that sounded worse that on my head then. Okay. Did you have a nice New Year's?
I did. It was quiet. Just with spent the afternoon, evening into the evening with my wife and her brother and his wife and some friends and family. So it was like just kind of sitting around talking about because many of us were artists. So talking about our different branches. So there was a touring musician and my brother-in-law sings, but he used to be actively in the music business, and so we just talked about movies, you know, typical kind of family hanging around stuff. Partially, it was more enjoyable because I know I'll be, I'm not far from home, but I'll be meeting my whole new family in a week and getting into Romeo and Juliet.
We would love you to come on anytime you have my email. Anytime you want to do something for press or you just want to vent about stuff, just come on. You will come on anytime.
I've been surly of late with some things happening in the industry and just in the news. So I'm really glad that nobody asked me any of that. So it was very easy talk. Oh, I am possibly doing a Shakespeare masterclass with Larishka Phillips School.
A
student here in New York. And I know if you if you're on Facebook, I know it's on my page. And if you, Marishka Science, something like that. But it should be easy to find on Facebook for the next week or two. Because if we get enough people, then I will be driving down on my day off to teach this Shakespeare masterclass. It wasn't a plan, but I love Shakespeare. And because our modern English is so much still kind of wrapped around language as he played with it, it really is applicable with any kind of text that you're working with, not just Shakespeare. Some of the tricks and tools I use and share with how I approach Shakespeare's text can be applied to anything. So I do a lot of coaching in terms of people dealing with public speaking and stress and how to be active and relaxed, how to free your instrument. So anybody out there who's interested in any of that kind of thing, I'm easy to find. as I said, well, I'm sure Carly won't get the message to me if you have to get it to her. But you can always send me something on Facebook. I'm on Twitter at Dark Thespis, Darkthespis.
Yes.
Easy to find if you want.
Yeah, but we just want you to know you are welcome anytime, and if you ever just want to come on and talk about current events or whatever you're mad at, you're more than welcome.
Football scores, football games.
Football.
Oh, yeah, see, we didn't even talk about that. So, yeah.
Okay, wait. Are you
I'm
a football? You
behind.
Like football?
I
you
am
like football?
A big fan. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, who's your favorite team?
Well, see, that's not a short answer. it is technically a short answer, but I have caveats. So let me give you the whole thing, and then you can respond.
Okay.
I am a lifelong bleed blue Dallas Cowboys fan. My family lived there when the Texans left to become the Chiefs. And we were waiting for the expansion team. So I learned to watch football in Texas, rooting for the Cowboys. Then we moved east. So I've lived most of my life surrounded by and much, much closer to all the other teams in the NFC East. So while I started as a Cowboys fan, I am probably the truest football fan you will ever meet because I watch every game from every week, and I could say I like someone on every team. So I'm probably the most even-tempered football fan you will ever meet.
Wow.
That's why I'm several weeks behind, because of auditioning and different reading that I've been having to do. I haven't been able to watch the games. So I'm still in the middle of week 14. When I was in Canada, I used to record them here at the house on VHS tapes and watch all the games. Now I use the NFL Rewind. So for like $40 a season, I get all of the games edited down to the game without, you know, from snap to snap, or you can watch a game in like a half an hour.
Really?
So I tend to watch the whole thing. Because, I mean, if you think about it, most of the football you watch, the games are already over. So over my years of being in plays where I just, you know, I couldn't sit there all of Sunday because I had a matinee, I went from taping them to watching them online. And in Canada, they don't have DirecTV. So the Sunday ticket idea is for the same $40. I could go to the my favorite restaurant when I had a Sunday off. I'd sit there and have my brunch and watch two games live at once on my computer for the same $30. So so that's what I do here. But, yeah, I'm in week 14. So I have a vague idea who's made it and who's been eliminated. I see Tom Coughlin is leaving the Giants. But I've trained myself not to listen to sportscasts, so I don't hear scores. I play fantasy, so I see who had a great week individually. But I don't know how the games worked out quite yet.
Well, she's
That's
a
fair,
Chicago Bears fan. See, Maggie's a Chicago Bears fan.
Oh.
I am too. But
Chicago girl.
I'm Seattle. I live in Seattle.
Oh, okay.
I will live and die by my Hawks.
I love them. I mean, I have a long time loved that team, and I'm glad that they're having success because, you know, that was a lot of years of no success. So I think it's great. And
I won't tell you because you haven't watched it, but watched yesterday's game between the Hawks and Arizona, and that one blew me away. That in itself blew me away. So... You know, and I mean, I feel like, I know, I'm not telling him, but I feel like we are going to go back in the Super Bowl, and I would like it if New York Patriots, New England is not in it, thank you very much.
I'm not a big Patriots fan at all. I like and respect some of the players, but yeah, that's a whole other kettle of fish. I mean, yeah, okay, every team bends the rules a bit, but that's the only team that's been caught in a way that required that kind of fining, and then they get caught again doing something, and you know, either we the teams and the owners, being widely inclusive here, agree to abide by the commissioner's punishments, or we don't. So the he hands out a punishment. Yeah, it was kind of strict, but then you decide to take it to the court system, into the legal system, after evidence has been destroyed, and you know, it's not right. It's not right.
Too shady.
So
it's not right.
It's
not right. I had to explain to my 8-year-old nephew, 9-year-old nephew. He's like, well, if Tom Brady gets a lie, why can't anyone else lie? And I'm like, well, I have a little talk with him over that. Because he goes, he's like, so, that means I can see it on my spelling test. I'm like, no, honey, you can't. And so, yes, I wanted to give Tom Brady a really bad Twitter thing, but I didn't. I wanted to, but, you know. But
we will behave.
Yes, I know. But we will love you. We will love you on any time. And, yes.
How about March Madness?
Yeah, and if you want to come back for, our Super Bowl show, you know, when the Seahawks are in it, just let me know.
I'll try to get caught up, and we'll get in touch, and we'll see. Well, yeah, that might be fun.
Okay, have a great
live,
night.
So.
Yeah, have a great night. And is it snowing now? And where
goodness.
You guys are?
Not yet. No.
Mm-hmm.
No. Soon enough.
No?
I do not call it. I do not wish it. But I'm sure it'll get here soon enough.
Well, sure will.
Yes, well, have a good night, Timothy. And I will get a hold of you during a week or two before Super Bowl week.
Great.
Okay,
thanks
have
so
a great
much
night.
For having me, and thanks everyone
Thank
for calling
you very
and listening
much.
In. It was fun.
Yeah. Have a good night.
All right. Good night.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, everyone, that was Timothy Strickland. Stricky. Oh, crap. Okay, well, we are going to have 10 minutes of soap shock because Carly is freezing. Because, what?
Hello.
Hello?
Hmm? Hey, boys.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hello?
Hi,
David.
Unmute me? Hello? Yeah, all of us. I muted everyone, you boys.
Okay, well, that was a good interview. And thanks for bringing him on, because like I said earlier, it's been a while since the last time I talked to you, because I think it was the last time I talked to you, you had somebody else from One Life to Live on it. I have been kind of busy, but I do want to just say that I was very, very shocked when I woke up this morning and saw on the internet that Kate Madison, Abigail,
okay.
and Days was sleeping.
Bobby,
and
Bobby,
know
we don't
true.
Know if this is true. No, we don't know if this is true, Bobby. Bobby, we don't know if this is true yet.
Right,
Because we only have one show staying in this. Okay. We don't have daytime confidences saying a damn thing. We don't have, even though you guys know how I feel about them, ABC Soaps in Depth, CBS Soaps in Depth. No one is saying this, but the soap stereo people. So I don't know if I believe it.
Right. And I'm not buying into that or the fact that Brooklyn is leaving GHS Emma either.
Okay. Let me talk to you guys about it. No, calm down, people. She's leaving for a little time being, but she will end up being back with Anna. She is not leaving the soap, period. Do not believe all the gossip out there. You know, She's just sleeping for a little period, but she will be back.
Right.
Yay.
Right.
So,
all right.
You know, I mean, all these stupid reports that, you know, happened during the break, you know, and I just want to say I was devastated on Friday. Wait, was it Friday? Yeah, Friday or Saturday when I found out. Natalie Cole. I cried. I cried probably as hard as I did when Whitney Houston died.
Right. I played
exactly.
I played every one of Natalie Cole's songs on YouTube all night Friday night because of that.
Yeah, it's just it's sad. And I mean did they find mom, did they find out the cause of death?
Congestive heart failure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I posted it, I think. I hope.
But
well, I mean, I really... That stunned me. When I was on news, you guys, I'm like, okay, stop it with the hoax, people. You know, don't say that. And then it was true, then I cried.
Right.
Then you had
to
tell me.
But wasn't she battling with hepatitis or disease for a while, because that's what I heard when she did a PSA about a year or so ago.
Yeah, but she was kind of cute with that. You know, she was on medicine for that and everything was fine because, what's the move called? Winona Judd also had that. And, she said, she was kind of okay with that, but my heart broke when I saw that.
Right.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Like I said earlier, I was listening all night Friday on YouTube to some of Natalie's songs and even played a couple of times Unforgettable that she did with her dad.
Daddy.
It's sad to just see these two icons, these two legends, just now up there in heaven.
Yeah, well, and I didn't know she was I didn't know she was my two mom's age. I didn't know Natalie Cole was that, you know.
Thanks, let my age out.
Oh, shut up, okay? Sorry, I wasn't thinking.
I know.
Oh, and boys. Yes, we will have a show on Friday.
Well, that would be lovely. By the way, how are you?
Yes. And next week, we are going to be busy. We are having Robert Kirker Kelly, my friend Tony.
All right.
And then we're having Real Anderson on Wednesday.
Tiger.
Well, that's going to be a busy show. Hopefully, as soon as you set up the dates for those shows, I'll be happy to be able to call in. It was just a pleasure to talk to you tonight. And
wait, Bobby, we are not done. We have 3 or 4 more minutes. Why aren't you hanging up?
No, I'm not hanging up yet. I'm just saying before we leave. But I'll let you know what's going on Friday, if I can be able to make the show or not. I might join in a few minutes after the show starts or maybe a half hour, depending on how long it goes, because I'm going to be cutting out from 7 to 10.
Okay, well,
I had to go put Supergirl on mute so I could hear this interview. Listening to this and watching that.
Supergirl is on
and,
mute.
Yeah, put it on mute.
Yeah, that's
and,
what
you
got
to
do.
No,
okay, so you guys, I'm okay for my operations. I had 2 of them. It wasn't fun. You guys never won 2 kidney stones in a 3-week period. And I woke up the second time, and I was so cold, and I kept asking for Maggie, and they thought I was crazy. And then my mom came in and goes, oh, no, she wants Maggie right now. And so I yelled at mom for not flying Maggie in.
Oh, no, it's okay. Your mom was with you.
I know, but then she had to abandon me to go back to work, you see.
Right.
And then grandma was coming in every... 5 minutes in my room. Okay, I love my grandma and you guys, but every 5 minutes she would come in my room and go, do you need your spice refilled? Are you hungry? And like Grandma, I said I wasn't hungry.
Too.
Yeah, I know. So, but you guys, we need to enjoy our grandmothers because, you know.
Please do.
I do.
When they're gone, they're gone a long time.
Well, yeah. And I just want to say the Seahawks are in the playoffs. And Colby's
right.
on, like, cloud nine. Colby's
right,
on cloud nine.
Right, but I'm a little
nine.
Bit worried, Carly. I'm a little bit worried about my Panthers meeting them because I know that after what happened the last time, and I gave you grief for a half hour on Facebook about that. I am a little bit worried that we can't handle them this time around. I admit, they come to our place this time around, but I don't think beating them twice in 1 year is going to be possible.
Okay, Bobby. You guys are going to be toast. This is all you. This is all you. We will go back to the... We will go back to the Super Bowl and win. You know, I know it.
Come to sports, I am Switzerland.
Well,
yeah.
David, you cannot be Switzerland.
I'm afraid so.
No, David, you can't. Maggie, tell him he can't be Switzerland.
No, I can't.
Okay, Carly, I think I'm going to leave it like as because I have no comment. Just make the best team win. That's all that matters. But I got
that's
a lot of Redskins.
Oh, yeah, make the best team win? No.
Too,
no, because the last year did the best team win? No. The best team got seeded over and screwed over. Okay.
Right. Right. So,
okay, I
haven't. I warn you, Carly, that I have friends in the area that I know that are Redskins and Steelers fans, so they might and so they might be a little bit of fighting at the bars and when I talk to them about what you said. But hopefully,
that's okay. I'm not scared of a bunch of little boys. I'm not scared. We have the best record in the Washington.
I'm not rabid about sports. I mean, I'll follow the Steelers every so often, but for the most part, you know, I don't like follow every score. I mean, I'll check the paper or whatnot, or tune in on the radio and see, you know, what's going on. But I don't really follow sports like a lot of people do. Most of the time, I feel like I'm like if I were dating a guy, I would be the sports widow. You know, while the other while the guy's watching sports, I'd be watching sports.
Yeah, me too. Okay, you guys. Okay, so Friday night we will.
Can I?
We'll, what, Mom?
Can I throw
what
one thing out there?
Yes.
Powers that be, if you're listening to our show tonight, please pick up Timothy on General Hospital.
Yes.
I think he would be perfect on General Hospital.
Yeah,
right,
I do, too.
Right, that's for him.
And General
good
Hospital.
Idea.
No.
Good idea. And Carly, you brought it up earlier, and I agree with Maggie on that. I don't care what soap he's on, or even if he's on the show that Sherry's on, I don't mind seeing him in a guest spot for a little bit of reunion, like I said to him.
I'm just so frustrated these days with General Hospital right now. I mean, I love it, but, you know, I'll always love the show, but I, like, for example, I love the whole Franco and Nina, the stuff today was great, but what's frustrating me is the whole Dante thing with him and Valerie and all that. It's driving me nuts.
That part drives me nuts. I want that to fizzle over and let Dante and Lulu get back.
It's like Dante's had a brain transplant and it's a bad one at that.
Yeah. I want to kick him in his butt.
You know, the problem is that the writers, people in charge, not just the writers, but also Nathan Varney and, you know, and so on, they want this story. And I'm like, why?
Yeah.
I need to catch up with DH right now because last night I had to watch my Days of Our Life. And I watched it, and I have to go watch it tonight. And all I'm going to say is, people, we are going to be crying for a while.
Did anybody see Days today?
Yeah.
Well,
I haven't followed that, but I am sort of sad because this is the final year of Downton Abbey.
Okay.
The final season of Downton Abbey. And I'm told that when the finale airs, you're going to need tissues, so it's going to be a good ending.
Yeah.
I love Downton Abbey, though. I'm going to miss it. You don't get many shows like that, you know? I mean, you don't really get hooked into a period soap like that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay, you guys, I'm freezing because of 20 degrees in Seattle. And Colleen...
It's 40 degrees, so I'm freezing either too.
I know, it's terrible. First we have, you know, I'm on the East Coast.
And
it
snowed today in some parts of North Carolina.
Yeah.
I wanted to snow.
I live in Connecticut. It's been absolutely balmy for the last few weeks. It's been wonderful. Now we're dealing with the cold. And I'm like, I want the balmy weather back.
Still in Florida. Can't come down here too.
On Christmas. We were saying 80 degrees on Christmas Day, and I thought for a minute I moved to where David is. Because I thought that's the type of weather David is used to around Christmas time. I'm not used to 80 degree weather around Christmas time.
I hate the cold, but, you know, like I said, I've stuck with it for years. I've lived here in Connecticut all my life. But it doesn't get like Minnesota cold, but it has gotten cold for quite a few years. But this year was unusually warm, and I was loving how it was like California weather out here. And meanwhile, California had all that rain.
You're going to pay.
Yeah.
But you know what? I'll tell you though, it was nice. It was nice not having to worry about shoveling snow this year for the most part. I mean, we've only had one big snowfall. It wasn't even that big. It was only 2 inches. But, you know, it was nice to not have to really shovel snow. I've had snowstorms that went on. I had a snowstorm once that knocked out power in my area for a solid week. I kid you not, a solid week without power.
Not funny?
And I have electric heat. So you can't get heat in your house if you don't have electricity.
That's true.
You know, it's really gassy, but it's with an electric starter, so without the power, you can't turn the pilot light on for the stupid gas heater, for the natural gas, so you're freezing your butt off.
Right.
Kill me now. But, Carly, I know how you feel about being cold. I've been there.
Yeah, boys, we will come back. We will be back on Friday, so we will call you guys then. Talk to you guys then.
Okay,
bye, guys.
I'll text you during the weekend on Facebook. In the meantime, I'll see you all on Friday, if I can.
Okay, bye-bye.
Goodbye, yeah, I'll be there.
See you then, buddy. Good night.
Bye. Good night.
Good night. That's all I can do.
Good night.
Good night. Mm-hmm.